Today on the Trent Out Loud podcast. One little tidbit, because, you know, sometimes I like to say that I am right. I told you so. What up? It's your boy Trent Out Loud, and I'm back with another episode. All right, I got a good show set up for you guys today. For those of you who say I don't cover enough Canadian news, I got two lead Canadian stories for y'all. I got everyone's favorite quick news. I got a really cool question of the day, and I got a follow-up to yesterday's sports news. Y'all know what time it is. Put your headphones on. Put your earbuds in. Turn the devices up. I'm about to start this show. Let's go. Canada's inflation rate tumbles to 2.9% in January, and grocery prices rise more slowly. Yo, shout out to the Canadian government for doing their job. I think that's credit to the Canadian government. I mean, I can't tell the last time I actually had a round of applause for the Canadian government, but hey, I guess you got to attribute that to them. I don't know. But anyways, let me read to you guys the article. Shout out to Straight Out the Six, by the way. Canada's inflation rate fell to 2.9% last month, marking a sharper deceleration in price growth than expected by forecasters. Statistics Canada's Customers Price Index report released Tuesday says the large contributor to the decline was low gasoline prices on a year-over-year basis. Tuesday's report offered several layers of good news for customers as price growth deceleration in 5 out of the 8 components of Customers Price Index, including food. So that's a good thing. Grocery prices were up 3.4% annually in January compared to 4.7% in December. There are also positive signs for the Bank of Canada as the largest figures show underlying price pressure easing and the headlining rate falling back to central bank's 1-2% target range. The central bank's core measure of inflation, which strips out volatility in prices, also fell in January. On a seasonally adjusted monthly basis, prices in January fell for the first time since May 2020. This is amazing, man. All right, continuing. The half of a percentage point decline in headline inflation rate comes after a period of volatility in price growth, which added uncertainty to the time of rate cuts. The central bank, which has been holding its key interest rate at 5%, has recently signaled its next move is likely to cut rates. Oh my gosh. Let's bring in another round of applause for that. Let's go. Let's cut these rates, man. And lastly, before it can pull the trigger, the Bank of Canada has been clear it needs more evidence that inflation is headed back to its 2% target. So, there you have it. That's a report. A lot of jargon in there to let you guys know that the economy is doing well. The measures that have been put in place by the government is finally working. The only thing I don't like in there is still the price of food still going up. I still feel like these big, huge grocery stores are price gouging and there is no need for these upcharges. Those upcharges were because of gasoline and transportation and et cetera, et cetera. There's no reason for the prices at the grocery stores for to be so high. I think that's the next thing that the government should tackle. There's got to be some sort of sanctions or some sort of policies or something to put into place at the grocery stores, because even when the interest rates go lower and all of these things come back to a more manageable price, if these prices at the grocery stores keep on increasing, it's not going to mean much. I literally went to the grocery store last week. I'm single, so I do a lot of Uber Eats, so I'm not at the grocery store a lot. But I do go out to get snacks and little things here, like eggs or whatever. So I'll go over. It was crazy. Like I got like 4 or 5 things, and it was 50, 60 bucks. I can't imagine what it must be like for a family of 2 or 3 to go to the grocery store. It's got to be like ridiculous out here, man. So shout out to the Canadian government. Like I said, it's not often that we get to applaud the government. So they are doing somewhat of a good job. I still think there's a lot of headway for them to do. A lot of different things that they could do, be doing better. You know, we all give Justin Trudeau a hard time. I wonder what people are going to think after this report. I wonder what people are saying after this report came out. I haven't looked into that. But this is Justin Trudeau's government. So, you know, when things are not going well, he should be getting, you know, all the blame or a big part of the blame. And when things go well, I believe also too, he should get part of the praise. So I am praising the government. However, there's a lot to do. And they need to continue, like you said, the banks, like I just said in the report, the banks still need to get inflation to a rate of a target rate of 2.0%, 2%. It's the same thing that they're seeing in the US. So 2.9 is good, but we need to continue to bring it down. I'll keep an eye on it. I do like reporting on Canadian news. This is an entertainment and pop culture show, but of course we are Canadians, so we're going to cover some big Canadian news like this. So I will definitely keep an eye on this and follow up with you guys. Keeping up with Canadian news, Canadians might lose access to PORN Hub. I cannot say the name. We are on YouTube and other platforms that might throw out some red flags out there. So for those of you who didn't catch it, I will spell it out again. PORN Hub. Some Canadians might lose access to that depending on a bill that might pass. I will read the report to you. Well, I'll try to read the report to you and I'll take out some words. The owners of PORN Hub say that blocking access to Canadians is among options they're considering as they try to persuade parliamentarians to reject an approach to age verification online in a controversial Senate bill. "We're taking different options in different jurisdictions," says the owners of the website. "I don't want to speculate on the bill in its current state. We're going to committee to ensure that the wrong legislation doesn't get passed." A House of Commons committee is set to study legislation proposed by a senator that would require Canadians to verify their age to access the online website. The bill outlines a range of concerns about minors having access to that kind of content, including the potential of developing an addiction to that kind of content and the reinforcement of harmful gender stereotype. It proposes companies that have such material ensure that young people cannot access it under treatment of fines between $250,000 and $500,000. The legislation does not specify how sites would verify a user's age, but options include an establishment of a digital ID system or services that can estimate an individual's age based on a visual scan of their faces. Such suggestions have prompted widespread concerns for privacy experts about their outreaching impact. From the risk associated with asking Canadians to share personal information with an external provider to use of measures such as facial recognition technology. Others have warned age verification could lead to a stifling in free expression, as some companies would likely rather block access to their sites. Others, they warn, would simply find ways to skirt around the rules. So there you have it. There's a lot of information in there. So basically, a senator is saying, listen, we do not want our kids to have access to this kind of material, to this kind of content. And they are going to put the pressure, or not the pressure, but put the responsibility on the website owners. And they're saying, well, you're going to have to figure out how you can make sure that the person who's watching this content is 18 years and over. If any of you out there have gone to any of these sites, 9 out of 10 of these websites you go to, they'll say, click here to say that you're over 18. But anybody can click. My 8-year-old nephew could click and say he's over 18, and then it gives you access. So the same way how smoking and drinking and driving, they have all of these age perimeters, there should be an age perimeter around this kind of thing online. But this goes back to a topic that we talked about, I think 2 weeks ago, just with social media in general. And it looks like people in government are trying to figure out a way how to protect our youth from everything online, whether it be sites with these kind of contents, whether it be just access to social media, just in general, YouTube, just everything. And what I said 2 weeks ago is that social media, the World Wide Web, is the wild, wild west. You know, once you get out of social media or websites, there's so many parameters and so many restrictions, especially when it comes to age limits. Like I just said, drinking, driving, smoking, gambling, going to a casino, going into a bar, etc. But online, they have yet to figure out how they could monitor it and make sure that young people don't have access to things too early. So I don't have all the answers. I don't think this face recognition thing, to me, just quickly, should be that much of a big deal, because there's so much facial technology out there already. When you go to the airport, your iPhone, etc. But on the other hand, I also do understand where Apple is a reputable, quote unquote, some people would argue that, but they're a reputable company. So I don't mind giving my facial recognition to Apple. Whereas, do I want to give my facial recognition to an online site that gives out this kind of content? Or even worse, do I want to give these online sites access to my 14-year-old, 12-year-old, whatever, blah, 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 facial recognition? But then on the other side, no, their face wouldn't work because they're underage. I don't know. I think that's probably why it doesn't work, because it's complicated. It's complicated, because even though if somebody is a teenager, and even though their face won't work, the website will still scan and have access to their face or access to their information. So I think that's what people don't like. So it's kind of like you trying to have your cake and eat it too. Anyways, I don't have all the answers. I'm just here to report the news. Most of the times, I definitely have a strong opinion on things. This one, I really don't know how to cut it, because the technology is not there yet to make it safe. And online is just a dangerous place. And just same way how I looked at it 2 weeks ago when I reported about social media, I think it comes down to the parents. When it comes to online, I don't think anybody has the answers yet, but one thing for sure is that their parent is around there. So you have to parent your children. You got to put blocks on your phones and on your laptops and then your iPads, and have that security, and not necessarily depend on Meta and Facebook and Instagram. Okay, all those were the same company. Sorry, it's all under Meta now. But you know what I mean? And Apple and these sites like this, like, I think it drills down to the parents. That's just my opinion. All right, that brings us to quick news. Ring my bell. Nicki Minaj reaches out to Cat Williams online through her followers, asking them to contact Cat Williams to see how much it would cost for him to join her on tour.
I want to know. Now, I know that this is the busiest man in show business, okay? I know that he's rich, and I know that, he's the funniest man in showbiz. Can y'all hit up Cat Williams and ask him what would be his price to be a part of the Pink Friday 2 Gag City Tour?
Okay, so people online are speculating that because Nicki's tour is not sold out and the ticket sales are not doing well, that Nicki is trying to grab some other people to bring on tour with her to kind of, supplement that it's just her on tour, and to try to bring in more money, and hopefully we'll sell more tickets. And we all know that Cat Williams is hot out here. But what most people are saying is that, why wouldn't you reach out to another artist? Why are you reaching out to a comedian? Like, I've never been to an artist show and there was a comedian there. Like, how would you split that up? You go to see Cat Williams for an hour and then Nicki Minaj comes out and you're partying and dancing for another hour? Like, I don't even know how that would work. Alicia Hoggins 82 wrote, adding a comedian to a music tour is strange. Exactly what I thought. Kenya Stewart wrote, Nicki should be at the level in her career where she doesn't have to low-key clout chase. This is just weird. GQ Libyan wrote, at this point, cancel the tour. It's giving, not selling out. That's rude. Little Looney wrote, bro, I hate her voice. Why does she talk like that? China Butler wrote, all that time you took sitting online arguing with people and your tour is not even properly put together is ridiculous. Chris Stewart 82 wrote, the way she talked about Meg's mother, Kat is not doing it. Kat is cut from a different cloth. Brody Blanco wrote, she's trying anything she could do to sell them tickets for the cities that's flopping. Poor Nikki, man. Somebody wrote, why isn't she just asking him directly? Like, she's clearly just doing this for clout. Anyways, I don't know really what's going on, because some people are saying that there are some spots that are already sold out. But this is my issue with Nicki. Every time I talk about Nicki, I love Nicki. I think Nicki Minaj is top 10 of all time, not just female. I think she's top 10 all time. But like I always say, whenever I talk about Nicki Minaj, as much as I love her, I feel like she lets her attitude and her temper get in her way. And I feel like that's what turned people off with the whole Megan Thee Stallion beef. And people don't want to come out to her concert. And she's resorting to doing things like this. Because we all know if the tickets went up and it sold out in 5 seconds, she wouldn't be looking to add Kat Williams or anybody. You know, like, why would you... So, you know, why would you share out the money? So clearly this has to do something with ticket sales, regardless if some dates are sold out. No artist wants some dates sold out, because she has to go to the other dates. She's not making full money. And sometimes if you don't have enough ticket sales, they'll have to cancel, you know, that city. So you need to have enough dates going on. Let's say, for example, if it's a 100 city tour and only 20 dates are sold out, that might not even be enough to get the tour out. So I don't know the details. The rumbling is that it's not looking good, and her reaching out to Kat. But like I said, I agree with one of that person's comment. I don't think Kat Williams will join the tour, because he does have his own thing going on. He has his own sold out tour, so I don't see how that would even work. I do think their personalities would match, though. You know what I mean? I think people would enjoy maybe seeing them together, the same kind of personality. But Kat has his own stuff going on out here, and I don't see him taking time out of his tour to share his money with Nicki. But I don't know, man. You guys let me know what you think about it, man. Benzino shares a post about him getting emotional during the Drink Champs episode. I told you guys yesterday when I spoke about this, and I put out the video of Benzino crying. I told you guys that this was a bad look. And now today, Benzino shared a post and it says, I see a lot of people laughing at Benzino crying. I don't find it funny at all. I've seen people who are bad people, let's just say, get emotional and start breaking down in tears. Crying don't make you weak. Crying is just a human emotion. Don't ever get it twisted. A person will cry right before they do something bad to you. You guys can read between the lines. So Benzino shared that. Somebody commented that. He shared it. And then he wrote, love, bro. And yeah, sounds about right. So Benzino now is reflecting and being like, okay, this is not a good look. So he's trying to make himself kind of just, you know, but like if he's trying to make himself look better. But my whole point is that if Benzino was out there crying and it was actually just a real emotion, I don't think people would be dragging him. There's no problem with you crying. There's no problem with a man crying. I don't care how big, small, old, young, or whatever, blah, blah. I have no problem with men crying. That's, to me, it's not a sign of weakness. But why you're getting dragged is because you started crying and you broke down because you were high and drunk out of your mind. So that's why we're making fun of you. You know, if you were sitting down in front of Oprah Winfrey and you guys were having an emotional heart to heart and you went to a deep place and that evoked emotion, people would applaud you for that and say, wow, here is this man, you know, ready to look within himself, looking to go into whatever place, whatever bot, and bring out his emotions and dealing with his demons or dealing with whatever it is. That's the people, that's the time when a man cries that people would reward you. But you got on Drink Champs, you got around with Nori, talking about Eminem, talking about losing money, talking about all that stuff, but you couldn't even stand up straight. You couldn't even form proper sentences. So that's why we're making fun of you, because we know that was not depth. We know that you weren't healing. We know that you weren't trying to heal. You were just drunk out of your mind and you didn't even know what you were saying. And this is further proof by this comment. So it's exactly what I said yesterday, man. So Benzino, You know, clean yourself up, bro. Don't do interviews where you're drinking and smoking. And if you actually want to get some healing, go sit down with Ivana Van Zandt. I think that's how you pronounce her name. You guys don't want bad with names. Sorry. But go on Ivana Save My Life and have a real sober talk with her. And I bet you if you start crying, you start getting into those in-depth conversations, you will not get dragged. ASAP Rocky responds to a fan asking about Rihanna's album, and he says she's working on it. Take a listen to this clip. All right, I don't have anything more to this story. There's no report, there's no write-up. There's literally just that quick sound of ASAP Rocky going into whatever building. For those of you who didn't see it, and you're only listening to this and you're not watching it on YouTube, you could go to my YouTube page at Trent Out Loud. There's actually really nothing to see, but I thought it would be a good time to plug the YouTube channel at Trent Out Loud. But anyways, yeah, so in the video, you just see him, he's walking out of a car going into a building. A fan is asking him. So I don't know if this makes it official, but I feel like there's actually, not I feel, sorry, I know there's actual like websites and trackers literally tracking Rihanna's album progress. Like her diehard fans, like Rihanna Navy, are in such anticipation for Rihanna album. Like it's crazy. So the fact of anybody saying anything about a Rihanna album, it literally makes headlines anywhere. So sorry if you felt like this headline was misleading, but it's all we got from Rihanna. On the flip side, you know, people in the industry like DJ Envy and Charlamagne on The Breakfast Club, whenever Rihanna comes up, they're like, yo, we're never going to get a Rihanna album. Rihanna is a billionaire. She has no need, no reason to put out an album. She's a mother of two now. Did she deliver already? I'm not too sure, but whatever. She's a mother of two or going to be a mother of two. She's a billionaire. She has her businesses. She gave us what she gave us, and they don't think that she's ever going to release an album. It's like Dr. Dre. He's never going to release an album. And I kind of see where they're coming from because she is so cemented in history. She's an icon. She's a legend. I mean, she performed at the Super Bowl. When you perform at the Super Bowl, you have made it. You have a career that has spanned a length of time, I think, beyond at least 10 or 15 years to be able to do the Super Bowl. And putting out an album could tarnish that, you know? And the longer you wait, then it builds up the anticipation and it's like, it's not as good. So I see why these artists sometimes don't want to put out an album because it could tarnish and, you know, fans are picky. Like, you made us wait 10 years for this. Like, you almost cannot please some people, you know? And just because they're going to want you to be the old Rihanna or whatever. So I think probably that's what she's battling. And it's just like, why do that and why tarnish the legacy if you don't need to? So I am one that would love to hear some new music from Rihanna, but I don't need it. I don't need new Usher music. I don't need new Rihanna music. I don't need new music from the artist that I love because I could listen back to that old stuff for the next 20, 30 years. I don't need new music. I'm from the thinking of like, I don't want them to tarnish what I know of them. Like Usher's new album came out. I haven't listened to it yet. I'm just so happy with what Usher gave us. I don't need to listen to any of his new stuff. So, but that's just me. I that's just my opinion, but whatever. I'll keep track of it as you guys know and let you know if she is actually really working on it and if we actually will see a Rihanna album sometime soon. Shannon Sharp has a message for comedians using his name in jokes. He says, please tell me you're not going to use Shannon as your punchline. Take a listen.
They found out that Shannon is the hot thing. They're using the same joke, but at some point in time, it's going to get old and people are going to get tired of y'all saying that Shannon gay and Shannon this, and you're going to have to get back to telling jokes. Please tell me you're not running out of jokes.
I'm going to just report on this really quickly because you guys know I'm a big Shannon Sharp fan. For those of you who don't know yet, I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you definitely know about Club Shay Shay and Nightcap, but go ahead and get on YouTube and follow Shannon Sharp at Club Shay Shay or Nightcap. He's super entertaining. He does a great, great show. And he's leading the way now for YouTubers and podcasters. You know, somebody who has a YouTube channel, not a podcaster, and has his own show. Shannon is an inspiration. And, you know, every chance I get, I'm going to applaud and have Shannon's back. So, yeah, all these comedians now, because It started out with Mike Epps kind of beefing with him, and then also Mace is kind of beefing with him now. And like he said, it's when you get so much attention and you are the man of the hour, and Shannon is the man of the hour with that Cat Williams interview, close to 100 million views collectively with the main interview, plus him putting out the clips, that it's close to 100 million views. Everyone's going to want to be on the show. You're not going to say yes to everybody. And when you say no to some people, they're going to start dragging you out in public. And now they're going out and talking about Shannon Sharpe and his sexual orientation, and he likes to be with white women. So they're just trying to drag him out here. And I think it's just ridiculous. I think it's childish. You know, I believe if Shannon Sharpe was homosexual, or if he, you know, whatever his sexual choices would be, he would come out and tell us. Like, it's just, I think it's just ridiculous. And it's not even really a funny joke. It just really doesn't even make sense. So maybe I shouldn't even be giving this any light, but like I said, Shannon is an inspiration to me. I really like him. I watch him every day on First Take. He's a good, good dude. I like promoting his show. And the better his show does, is the better it is for the rest of us podcasters and YouTubers. So we're sticking together. Y'all get off of Shannon Sharpe's back. All right. This brings us to question of the day. If you could change one thing in the world, what would it be and why? All right. Let me jump to the comment sections quickly because we are low on time. All right. Somebody wrote that everybody would accept Jesus as their savior. Okay. Carmen Red wrote racism wouldn't exist. That's a good one. Lenisa Boudram wrote men could get pregnant and have their periods. Why would you want that? That's crazy. Raquel 235 wrote no one would be homeless. That's a good one. Forever Savior wrote no guns, so many lives would be spared. That's a really good one. Creed Boom James, I think, said I would create an effective cure for cancer. Shout out to cancer survivors and people that have passed away from cancer. Anthony Spears wrote college should be free. People shouldn't have to go into debt to start their careers. Man, if you had a wish to change the world, that's what you would change, man. Free school. That's it. That one big wish. All right. Free healthcare. Somebody wrote free healthcare. Danielle wrote, I hate seeing homeless people outside. Pretty Pink 019 wrote, my mom passing away. Oh, that's sad. Oh, that's really sad. Snow Ivory wrote, eliminate all diseases. See, that's a good one. That's more widespread. I'd do that rather than free school. I like that one, Snow Ivory. And one last one, Tenny Fashion wrote, people's prejudice towards the disabled people. We are all humans just like y'all. All right, obviously that person is disabled. And somebody, Miss Jones wrote, remove hate. All right, so those are all really good. I guess if I had to answer, if I had one choice, this might seem a little crazy, but I would change death. I would change that we could live forever. Now, I don't know the implications of that because the world is not big enough for people not to die. But yeah, that's what I would choose. And I think that's what some people are saying too, if they cure all diseases, because you end up dying of some sort of disease somewhere. So yeah, I would change that we live forever. And if not forever, for way longer than 100 years. 100 years is way too short. But I'm sure if you live to 500 years, I'm sure it's going to be too short too, because at some point you're going to have to go and you don't want to go. But if that was my one wish, I wouldn't think of the consequences. I would just think that I wish that we could all. And lastly, this brings us to sports news. I have one little tidbit because, you know, sometimes I like to say that I am right. Stephen A. Smith confirms on First Take that the All-Star game is completely horrible. The All-Star weekend is completely trash. He agreed with me saying that he thinks the All-Star weekend should be completely abolished. I didn't even go that far to say that they shouldn't do it. Even Shannon Sharpe was on, Shannon Sharpe on First Take. Just want to make sure that it was, he didn't say this on his podcast. Sorry, I'm confusing you. Let me just get back to the topic at hand. Even Shannon Sharp was saying that he thinks that it's time that we stop doing the All-Star game. Stephen A. Smith went further to say that he believes one of the reasons why the slam dunk competition is not good is because of LeBron James. He says the full weight of the slam dunk competition not being good should rest on LeBron James's shoulders. Listen to this.
LeBron James is directly responsible for ruining the slam dunk
competition. Are you serious?
Yes, he is.
Thank you.
Yes, he is. I'm not finished.
Now, I don't know if that should rest on one sole man. However, I can't play the whole clip for copyright issues, but he did go on to say that Jordan was in the slam dunk competition, I think, three times. Dominique Wilkins, Kobe Bryant. Can't remember the other names right now, but all stars were in, and then LeBron was the first all star that is a big man that does dunk in games that hasn't been in the slam dunk competition. So, I don't know if you could bring it down to one man, and it's not like the whole weekend is amazing and we just lost the slam dunk competition. Yes, the slam dunk competition probably was everyone's favorite time of the weekend. It was the highlight, but a close second was the All-Star game. So, you know, if it was just the slam dunk competition, I don't think people would be really upset, you know? So, I don't think it's fair for Stephen A. Smith just to highlight the slam dunk competition and just to highlight LeBron James. We should think the bigger picture and just think how we can make the entire weekend. How do we make the 3 days better? And yes, how do we make the slam dunk competition better? And yes, the all-stars should be in there. Like I said yesterday, you shouldn't have a G Leaguer in there. You shouldn't have somebody that's not an all-star. Maybe it should be fans voting, like how they vote to bring them into the all-star. But they got to do something with the entire weekend. More importantly, the all-star game, when you have all those all-stars, you can't have them running around like they're playing in their driveway with their kids. Like, it's absolutely ridiculous. But anyways, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Like I said, sometimes I like to say, I told you so. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. It's your boy, Trent Out Loud. For more content, you could subscribe, download, or listen to the Trent Out Loud podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. Or you could watch us on YouTube. Just search Trent Out Loud. For show times and updates, you could follow us on all social platforms at Trent Out Loud. Go to signupexpert.com/Trent. Once you sign up for all betting apps and get all your bonuses and get all your rewards, go to your app store and download BetStamp and use promo code TOL.